Senate will be in order. The prayer today will be offered by Alan Mulliken, pastor of LeGrand Friends Church of LeGrand. He's the guest of the senator from Marshall, Senator Edler. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Dylan Belzer.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to live this day. I pray, Lord, you would give us joy, give us wisdom, give us understanding, Lord God. We pray that those decisions that need to be made, that you would give us clarity on those. Lord, I pray for, as we have those discussions, Lord, we speak with truth and with grace to each other. Lord, I continue to ask that you would lead us today. In the name of your Son, Jesus.
Are there corrections to the journal? Hearing none, the journal is approved as printed. Are there any senators to be excused? There is business in the well. The secretary will read.
We have two gubernatorial appointment introductions to make to the Senate today. The first one is Major General Benjamin Correll. He has been appointed as Adjutant General for the state of Iowa. He's the guest of Senators Carlin and R. Taylor and the Committee on Veterans Affairs, and he will be in the Senate Lobbyist Lounge for half an hour after this to answer any questions. The second one we have is Elizabeth Johnson. She's been appointed as Director of the Civil Rights Commission. She's the guest of Senators Garrett and Peterson in the Committee on Judiciary. And she will be in the Senate Lobbyist Lounge for half an hour after this to meet with any of you.
Are there any senators seeking the floor for announcements, introductions, or points of personal privilege? For what purpose does the senator from Polk, Senator Nunn, seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Seek the floor for a point of introduction.
You're in order, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, today we are joined by our new Consulate General, Kenichi Okada, who is sitting in the back from Japan. Kenichi Okada is serving a tour 3 months into the consulate in Chicago, and represents one of our long-lasting relationships with the people of Japan. I'd like to read the Certificate of Recognition from the International Relations Committee. In the last year, Iowa has exported more than $975 million in goods to Japan and is one of our state's most important trading partners, as I learned this morning, third only after Canada and Mexico. Iowa's success is strongly linked to the success of Japan and strong, stable partner in commerce, workforce development, and innovation around the globe. Today, Japan has over 71 businesses operating in the state of Iowa and employs more than 4,400 U.S. businesses and employees throughout the state, as well as a rich history of ag trading, both in corn, soybean, and pork. Consulate General, we welcome you to the Iowa Assembly and would like to thank you for your service and hope to see you back in time for the Iowa State Fair and the pork producers. Welcome to the Iowa Senate.
What purpose does the senator from Wayne, Senator Sinclair, seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Am I in order for an introduction?
You're in order, Senator.
In the gallery behind me, you will see we have with us today a delegation from India and Pakistan. These are young political leaders from members of parliament. They are lawyers, journalists, and other folks who shape policy in their respective countries. They have joined us from the in cooperation with the American Council of Young Political Leaders, and if you all could please give them a warm welcome to the Iowa Senate.
What purpose does the senator from Johnson, Senator Bolcom, seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate. A brief point, Mr. President.
You're in order, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Over the weekend, there was a news story. I just thought I'd bring the attention of the body. There's a mining company up in Clayton County, Patterson Mining, and they have a proposal to extract 2 billion gallons of water from the Jordan Aquifer to ship it on a what's called a water train to drought-stricken southwestern states, and that's their plan. It isn't clear whether it's going to be bottled water, drinking water, or irrigation water. DNR is quietly considering the permit right now. There are a lot of questions, I think, with this. Number one, this water is owned by the people of Iowa. Groundwater is owned by all of us. How will this massive withdrawal impact other Jordan wells in the area? Get a $2 billion withdrawal. How will it affect the hydrology of this aquifer? We need a comprehensive environmental analysis of this proposal and a hydrologic study. Patterson, this mining company, will essentially extract this water for free. No cost, two billion gallons a year. Since the water's owned by the people of Iowa, maybe Patterson should pay the people of Iowa for this water. So I hope that this that the Natural Resource Committee, I don't see Senator Rosenboom if he's here, I hope the Natural Resource Committee will put this on and get some more information about it and investigate it. And I hope that our Department of Natural Resource Director will publicly explain her plans for evaluating this request and how she's going to go about making a decision about this. This is kind of uncharted territory for us in the state in terms of extracting water, which is something really important. The Jordan is a really important aquifer to our ethanol industry, to many communities. I think we want to go forward with our eyes open about whether or not we think it makes sense to ship this important natural resource to Iowa, to southwestern states. Thank you, Mr. President.
For what purpose does the senator from Blackhawk, Senator Dotsler, seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Would I be in order for a point?
You're in order, Senator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I woke up this morning after a short night's sleep feeling like there was a burr in my bed. After listening to the national media talk about the Iowa caucuses, I got a couple things to say. One, I think that the Iowa caucuses were a tremendous success. The reporting wasn't. I do know that the Democrats in the state of Iowa and Republicans who had a large number turnout for President Trump, and in fact, probably an unexpected number of people who showed up. And on my side, Democrats invested a tremendous amount of time. They went and listened to each of the individual candidates in this state for months. I know in the last week there were still plenty of caucus goers who hadn't made their mind up, and they actually attended 2, 3, or 4 of our Senate, presidential candidates' meetings. They invested their time. They did what Iowans were supposed to do: listen to the candidates. Listen to their issues, decide for themselves who they think would be the best person to represent Iowa in the presidential elections. And then they showed up at those caucuses. They took a good part of their evenings, and those caucuses were held, at least in my case, in a very orderly manner. And they took a vote on a ballot for their candidate and sign their name to that ballot. And we calculated out whether those candidates that they supported had enough to be considered viable or reached a certain threshold, which in my case was 15%. And if they weren't, the ones that, for example, Bloomberg, he didn't have anybody in my caucus, but if he would have had one, that individual could have selected another group. And they did that. And our caucus ended, and we have all those written ballots. We took them and tried to report them. It didn't work. And I know the media's out there, and the national media is saying what a failure this has been. But it hasn't been a failure. It was a success. Because Iowa did its job. And Iowans care. They listen to their candidates. And they make their minds up. Where if we were a large state, you would have never got that selection process. You would have listened to whoever had the big pockets. And you would have listened to their ads. And we know from our own experience as elected officials how ads can be misleading and do not represent the individual. That's what makes Iowa caucuses great. They can look a candidate in the eye. They can ask them questions directly. And that's what happened over the last months. So when I hear people say on the national media that those candidates wasted their time here in Iowa, it aggravates me. Because Iowans invested their time too. And we are going to have a result, and it is going to be accurate. Now, I know in the world that we live in, it's instant gratification. This wasn't a primary. We didn't have electronic machines that could automatically tally votes and send them in. And I know when I was at Democratic headquarters close to 10 o'clock last night, people were still bringing their stuff in. But yet, the media was expecting us to have the results right away. Now, I know that there was certainly an absolute problem, and I don't know if it ever can be fixed, but Iowans did their job. We eliminated a good number of candidates, and when the total is going to come in, we're going to see that we shrunk the field down just like Iowans should do. So I'm very proud of the efforts that Iowans took, and I know it's on both sides of the aisle. We did our job. The reporting failed.
Seeing no other senators seeking the floor, the chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Democrats will caucus in room 24.
The chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Republicans will caucus briefly in room 22, and I move the Senate adjourn until Wednesday, February 5th at 9 a.m.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer. All those in favor say yay. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The Senate is adjourned until Wednesday, February 5th at 9 o'clock a.m.